right. Thank you. Good to see you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick for the word that he will nourish us and fill us, satisfy our hunger this morning. Father, we welcome your mighty presence, Lord. Thank you for the prophetic word about fire and glory. As the word has gone forth, Lord, I pray that everyone's leaving this place this day would leave with great fire, that would be fulfilled, that word would be fulfilled, and people would be filled, oh God. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the atmosphere, over everyone sitting here, and I break every evil plans, every evil plots, every hindrance, every distractions. Let God arise, and let all his enemies be scattered by fire, by thunder. God, be with us, oh God. We want to know more of you. We want to be one with you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Today, I want to talk about the rest of God. Let me also get my notes real quick. You know, certain things in our life did not go far as the devil wanted it to go. Amen. You know, the devil wanted to rip our mind apart, but God wouldn't let him do that. God stopped him midway or along the way and did not allow Satan to finish what he started. So many of us are battle weary. Do you agree with that? I don't know how many of you can attest to that, that the last few seasons have been intense on the saints. And there's been attacks on finances, attacks on the mind, attacks on family, attacks on the peace. And there's a lot of battle weariness from the previous season. But as Matt this day prophesied earlier, that there's a new rain coming. There's a shift to a new season. And what I want to say is don't give up yet. We've all been on the brink of giving up and throwing the towel. But God does not want you to give up yet. Before this year ends, there's going to be some major breakthroughs for our lives. Amen. So just hang on and hang tight, for the Lord is not finished yet. Because the enemy wanted, you know, we had certain promises that is still pending for 2017. And it's coming. Just hang on. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about the rest of God. How to come out of battle weariness and how to be ready for the next season. Because it's only in the pastor rest you're going to attract God's manifestations and miracles. If you're in an ever state of anxiety and chaos and concern, you might miss some windows of opportunities coming your way. Hallelujah. So, let's go to Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So it says, there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God, for all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. So there's a rest still remaining for the people of God. It's a special rest. And I'll go, skip towards the end. It says, so let us do our best to enter into the rest. Amen? Everybody say, enter into the rest. So this calling to come into the rest started with the ancient Israelites. God always had this promise for the ancient Israelites. Many a times the traditional church defers rest to after death. That is there. But there is a rest for us while we are still alive. The fullness of it, which we will receive in eternity in heaven. But still, there is a rest waiting for the people of God. What is that rest? Let's look at it. Isaiah 30, 15 says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Hallelujah. Only in returning to me and resting in me you will be saved. There's no other way you're going to come out of your situation without the posture of rest. Only in returning and resting shall you be saved. As I mentioned before, salvation has a present tense element to it. It's not all about the future. Yes, that it's ultimate deal. Yes, we have eternal salvation. We definitely need that's the ultimate and the most important part of it. But don't discount what is presently available. God says two things. You got to return to me. Meaning, some of us have left our place in God. And what have we done after leaving the place in God? We've started to be all tense and chaotic and trying to solve it all on ourselves. God says you're not going to come out of your situation in that attitude or posture. You got to return to me and then rest in me. And in that posture, you have two things, quietness and confidence. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So one of the definitions of rest is a total liberation from anxiety, worry, fear. I put it here, mental, emotional, and physical freedom from worry, anxiety, and fear. That's a place of rest that God wants to bring his people to. Because you're not going to receive anything as long as your mind is worried and fearful and chaotic. God wants his people to enter into the rest. So the Hebrew word for rest is nuach. The name Noah comes from that word. Everybody know the meaning of the name Noah? It's what? Peace or rest. Nuach means rest. Describes a state of mind in faith, even when your circumstances don't support what you believe. I'll repeat that. It's a state of mind of quietness and trust in faith, even when all hell is breaking loose around you. And he wants us to enter into that place of nuach, into the rest. Why is that so important? Because you will not receive, or you cannot receive what you have from God until you get into the position or posture of rest. Ceasing from worries, anxieties, thinking about tomorrow and all your concerns. Hallelujah. So resting starts with, as you all know, in the finished work of Christ. So we have to have a good understanding of our salvation. Good understanding of what Christ did on the cross, because this is the basis of all our rest, which is the finished work of Jesus Christ. It says, Ephesians 3:17 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So the basis for your rest has to be you being grounded in the love of God for you. You have to be fully convinced and know that God has accepted you in the Beloved. Your sins are not going to stand in your way anymore because he said what at the cross? It is finished. You have to also rest in that fact. No matter what hell is going around your life, you got to just say, it is finished. I am not my flesh. I belong to the Spirit. And I am a new creation. So you got to, that is a resting part of it. Because if you look at the armor of God, he says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What it means is a preparation. I don't know how many of you know this terminology. A preparation is nothing but a foundation. Back when you put concrete and make a preparation, which is a firm foundation. So he's saying your feet, you need to stand strong in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And many people have, you know, mistook that for evangelization. Yes, we have evangelization, but in the armor of God, the main thing that will make you stand strong is your feet firmly planted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Without that understanding of foundation, you are not ready to fight. You can't fight. Because your sins, your guilt will continually pop out in your mind and make you weak. Your mind won't allow you to move in confidence when your feet is not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace is nothing but the finished work of Christ, meaning you have peace with God through the work on the cross. That's the gospel of peace. You and I have peace with God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So as you know, the whole assault against the people of God, against Christians, is to get you out of the place of rest. The enemy tries his best to wear you out. The enemy has launched a massive attack worldwide to completely get us off track mentally. And that's why in the book of Galatians, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for you will reap in due season. So there is a season that God has for every one of us, a season when your promises will manifest. But the enemy is trying to wear you out and separate you from your season. Hallelujah. He wants to exhaust you before you reach your manifestation. I've seen many saints who give up on the verge of their breakthrough. It was too so close, but the enemy separated them from their season of manifestation. He will try to wear you out with many, many tactics. And that's why Apostle Paul said, let us not be weary. Don't be weary yet, because your due season is coming. And the enemy wants to separate you from your due season. See, what we think timing is not God's timing. We want things now, but God has certain things prescribed and ascribed for a certain time. That's why in the Bible, in the book of Galatians says, in the fullness of time. God has a time ordained when the fullness of time has come and the time is ripe to get your manifestation. But oftentimes we get offended, we get bitter because God didn't work in our timing. If you are saved, born again, blood bought, know that God has all things working together for your good. Even your afflictions are working toward a greater glory in your life. Don't discount anything. You know, I remember years ago when I used to complain about certain things to God. I said, God, I've done this for you. Why am I going through this? And in my heart, I think I cursed God in my heart many times. What's the benefit of? But, you know, recently, you know, when Revelation started to unravel in my mind and God just showed me, my son, I still love you. And I repented. I said, God, forgive me all the times when I misunderstood you. Because many a times we think afflictions, when things don't go our way, is a bad thing. I wouldn't be where I am today without my afflictions, I'll tell you that. It has brought out the Christ in me. There's no other way on earth you can go into the full stature in Christ without afflictions and the trials of life. The trials and testings and the fire that comes with it is to bring the gold out in you. Because my friends, through biological birth and influence from the world, we have a lot of dross that need to be purged away. There's a lot of filth that need to, that can only happen usually through the fire of afflictions. So it's a good thing, the psalmist says, that I was afflicted. David said that in the book of Psalms. He said, it is a good thing that I was afflicted. Because before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. So I thank God recently. I said, God, I thank you for all the trials and testings, even when it wasn't fair. He just told me to stand by. And but guess what? Through all this, I realized I gained the treasure called Christ and Christ consciousness. I can operate in the oneness with God now, because his fire purged all the mental blocks out of my mind. So I thank, that's what Apostle Paul said, for this sufferings of this present time is way lighter compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. Cooperate with God through the time of afflictions.
I'm telling you, because it is to form or to release the Christ out of you fully. But if we complain and kick and scream, you're going to abort the process. I'm telling you, my friends. If you want to grow into the pinnacle of revelation and might and anointing of God, be like Joseph. Be like Daniel. Be quiet and know that God is working something out. Don't kick and scream. So enemy wants to separate you from your due season. He wants to exhaust you before you reach your manifestation. But Apostle Paul says, do not be weary. Your due season is coming. Because today's word from Matt was timely. Because I believe it's a shift. Even before 2017 is over, there's going to be mighty testimonies of breakthrough happening in our church and among the saints. Amen. So when we think about rest, what do you usually think of? Physical rest. Most of the people would say rest is like sitting in a beach, sipping some margarita or pina colada, whatever it might be, collecting seashells, you know? No phone calls from work, no issues, harmony, right? So rest is not always about physical rest. Jesus said it what? Come unto me and I'll give you rest to what? Which part of you? The soul. It is your mind that needs rest. It is not, you know, yes, definitely our body needs rest, but your body can be all perfect, but if your mind is not at peace, it is a chaotic environment. So rest, as I said, is a mental and emotional freedom. Example of rest, Abraham. We see the boy in Abraham's story where Abraham was promised at a late age. God said, you're going to have a child. What was his reaction? Did he say, God, you know, definitely he had this question, God, at this old age, am I going to have a child? But what was Abraham's inner posture? It was a posture of rest. He quietly knew, confidently knew, that God was able to perform what he has promised. Example of rest. It's a mental state when you're free from worry, anxiety, and fear. So you need to fully also know that the devil is out to make you the opposite of rest. What is that? Weary. He wants to make you weary. Let me give you some characteristics of what really weariness is all about, okay? When a person is weary, they are empty of endurance. You can't say the best words in the world to get them out. When they are weary, there's no more endurance remaining. When a person is weary, they're zapped of all the vigor and energy in them. It's a tough state to be in. They're depleted of their freshness. And that's why we looked at Isaiah earlier. It said, only in returning to me and in resting in me you will be saved, and your strength can come only from that position. So weariness definitely is the assault of the enemy. And the rest of the message, I want to talk to you about how do we combat this weariness and enter into the rest. And at the end of the service, I also want to pray for people who are battling or battle weary. We want to have the leaders also pray over, anointing you all with oil to give you that fresh anointing, the fresh fire of God to get that weariness off you from the past season. Hallelujah. So as you all know, many of the frontline people of God, whether it's Moses, Joseph, Elijah, they all went through this battle weariness. So nothing is new here, okay, guys? And I want to talk to you about some of the characteristics of what they went through and what we go through. Number one, on your journey to the rest, you have to encounter these things. These are some of the posts on your way to rest. Number one, what is it? They all went through the wilderness experience. To be at the place of rest, you have to go through certain things. And number one is you will go through a period of wilderness. Wilderness is dry. Everything seems like nothing is working. So I just want to let you know, your wilderness experience is not uncommon. Many of the men and women of God in the front lines went through it. Number two, they got depressed. Even the strongest, Elijah, got so depressed. He went and slept under a tree. So it's not unusual. Just letting you know, you're not alone. Number three, got discouraged. Moses several times cried out to God and said, God, why me? Why? Did we come all the way here to get perished in this desert? It's part and parcel of your journey to the place called rest. They got angry. Sometimes it's okay, but be angry and sin not. But there might be feelings of anger coming, asking God, what is this all about? Why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be some other way? I've asked that question. And finally, they all wanted to die. Does anyone here have felt that? They're like, I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning. You know? Elijah told God, God, just take me up. I don't want to live anymore. I've done enough for you. Just let me go. They wanted to die. So this is what you might go through as you go to your place of rest. So don't be surprised. So there are three things, the three common weapons of the devil that you have to fight, or at least you need to recognize. The Bible says, be not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. These are the three things that he usually does to cause weariness in you. Number one, delay. Delay. Hallelujah. Let's look at what delay is all about. Daniel 7, verse 25, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. His first weapon against the saints of God is delay. He just wants to keep you contained. In other words, status quo. Nothing has changed in your life in the past few years. You're still in the same trajectory as you were. That's a tactic of the enemy. He wants to just keep you where you are. You're like, nothing is broke. You know, my life is keeping on going. But you haven't made any advance yet either. No advances either. So he wants to keep you contained. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs. It says, hope deferred makes your heart sick. He wants to delay manifestation. The devil wants to delay your manifestation or your miracle. Because he knows that if he can get you off from expecting, today there was a word for expectation too, correct? If he knows if you can get you from expecting, he can get you off your promise as well. So Daniel 7 says, Satan shall speak great words against the Most High God. And what does he do? Everybody read that. Shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And not only that, how does he do that? And think to change times and seasons. This is his number one weapon. He wants to change the times and seasons of your life. Something should have happened a long time ago in our lives, but he kept on delaying it, and his main goal is that you will be worn out. Hallelujah. He conspires to wear out the saints of the Most High by changing times and seasons. There was a due time, you know, but he wants to continue to keep you in the place of delay. He wants to delay your healing until you believe that God is not a healer. He wants to try to delay your mate until you believe that God has called you to be single. He wants to cause delay in your schedule, in your miracle, until you think that God has lied about his promises to you. He thinks to change times and laws, seasons. This is an age-old tactic of the enemy. And many Christians are brought into this too. If there's no bad news, it's okay, it's good news. That's kind of the attitude of many Christians. If you are not going through any warfare, you are stuck in the status quo. Let me tell you that. Only the saints who are going from breakthrough to breakthrough, glory to glory, are on continual warfare. And they are going to overcome. But if there is no warfare, if there is everything going fine, know that the devil has you contained in some place.
Hallelujah.
So he wants to delay our manifestation and wear out the saints. See, in Daniel 10, Daniel said, the time appointed for Israel to get out of Babylon was set, but the time, the manifestation time was still too long. So Daniel's like, listen, Israel should have gone out of captivity a long time ago. They're still here. They're still in bondage. In other words, we should have been out of that situation a long time ago, but we are still here. But you got to tell the devil that delay is not a denial. Come on, say it with me. Delay is not a denial. Hallelujah. We are coming out. Because you need to realize, if you don't give up, your promise will be manifested. But like I said, his main goal is to get you out of expectation, giving up on the promises or expectation of God. Hallelujah. Next, second weapon. You need to realize, listen to this. Satan selects his weapons carefully. He does two things carefully. The timing of assault and the choice of weapon is very carefully planned. It's not like, you know, he just throw random stuff out. He knows what works for Matt. He knows what works for Lourdes. He knows what works for Jeff. He knows what works for Ian, whoever it might be. He knows exactly what your weak points are, and he will choose the timing of it, the assault, and the weapon of choice. Number two is deception. This is the common weapons he uses to keep you weary. One, delay. Number one is delay. Number two, deception. He says, Revelation 12:9, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world. Now again, Revelation 20 says, Satan is the great deceiver, the one who deceives the whole world. Satan's another big tactic is deception. In other words, what is deception is, he makes you to think of a situation either in an exaggerated fashion than what it is really, or he'll try to make you underestimate what the situation is. Big deception. He told Eve, you won't die. Kind of underestimated, underplayed the situation in the Garden of Eden. Where the Bible says Satan deceived Eve. I've gone through situations when seriously, I was like, man, is this even real, right? When Satan can so play in a situation where he'll cause you to misunderstand people, he'll cause you to cause offense among people, total misunderstanding. What in the demonic realm, there is something called demonic mask, M-A-S-K, mask, demonic mask. What he does is, when the demonic realm puts a demonic mask upon you, say, any one of you, what he does is, the general people, when they look at you, they misunderstand you. It's a spiritual demonic mask that they put upon you. Even though you have all the good intent and right attitude and motives in heart, this demonic masks make you a bad person in front of many people because that mask is what they see. It's a spiritual thing that they do upon people. And that's why now I say in the name of Jesus, all demonic masks against our lives, catch fire now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So there is that element of deception continually against the people of God to keep them deceived, keep them either exaggerate the situation that they're going through or underestimate what they're going through. Either way is dangerous. Look at Psalm 62, verse 4. So one of the way they deceive is, and the reason why they deceive is, it says the devil, so the satanic forces, they plan to bring a saint, a believer, down from his exalted position. They love to use deceit. One of the reasons they want to deceive you and think of a situation more exaggerated than it is because they want to get you off your exalted position. They don't want you to be in your zone. What does being in a zone mean for a Christian? Focused, the same thing, you're always walking in the Spirit. You're walking in your identity in God, in Christ, and that's called a zoned Christian. He's zoned, that's why Apostle Paul says, walk in the Spirit. You're not looking at your flesh, you understand, you're saved, you're a new creation, and you walk in the Spirit, focused. And he wants to get you out of that exalted position. Remember in the book of Ephesians says, we are now seated in an exalted position in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But the devil wants to keep you in the noise of this world here. He wants to get you kept in the strife and the arguments and the whole misunderstandings of your family or the world. He wants to keep you down here in the noise. That's a plan. To bring you down from your exalted position. So that you are like an ordinary person. But if your mind is in the right place, you walk with great power. Because now you are not... You try to get away from the noise of this ground level. You soar like an eagle. And devil knows if he gets you off the ground, it's a dangerous thing. So he'll try to keep you here in the ground. Petty arguments, strife, other distractions. And the third, speaking of distraction, the third one is distraction. Devil wants to distract you. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says, there were some seeds sown by the wayside. And he talks about what it is, the meaning of it is. He says, these are the people when they've heard, what happens? Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that's sown in their heart. These are people who are not focused. So God is saying, Jesus is saying, there were seeds sown by the wayside. These are people not focused. They come, they go. And they can never climb up to the level, the exalted position God has for them. Because they're too distracted. This is why the book of Proverbs says, turn not to the right, nor to the left. Keep your gaze straight on Jesus. It's very important to keep your focus on the Spirit. It's a labor. This is why the book of Hebrews says, let us labor to enter into the rest. There's some labor involved to the place called rest. And the labor involves keeping away from distractions. We have to do things of the Spirit to keep ourselves in the Spirit. If you watch CNN or Fox News for 24 hours a day, don't expect to be in your exalted position, my friend. Hallelujah. Because the devil wants to break your focus. He wants to get your mind off everything that God has promised for your life. Hallelujah. See, I made up in my mind that what I want from God is so valuable, I'm not going to let anybody or anything distract me from my mission. You got to make up your mind like that. You got to make up your mind and say, I'm going to run toward the prize in Christ Jesus. If you have leg in two boats, why left leg in one and the right leg in one, you can't serve God like that. That's what Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Just can't serve. Keep your allegiance towards one. Hallelujah. You have to understand the power of pressing. Pressing in. You got to learn how to press your way through. Press. Because distractions are going to be thrown against us continually. Because especially when a word is heard, what does the Bible say in Mark? Third line. Satan comes quickly or immediately. That's his goal, to make sure the word that's being released should not deposit in your mind. It should not take root. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So here is go. Weapons to defeat. So I want you to not go just by understanding what this is all about, but also I want to equip you with the weapon to defeat the spirit of weariness. Okay? Let's look at the first one. Number one weapon to defeat weariness in you is praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Who just brought up that? I don't know. Somebody was talking about it just now. I thought several things that were shared today morning is in very much in line with what I'm trying to say here. So that's the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit is the number one weapon to defeat the spirit of weariness. Look at Isaiah 28:11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. To whom he said, listen to this, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is what? The refreshing.
Hallelujah.
How many tongue-talking saints are in here? Raise your hands.
Hallelujah.
So you know what this is. It brings refreshing to a weary soul. He says, with stammering lips, that's what we say, rabba-ba-ba-ba, juda-rabba-ba-ba. What, we are crazy people here. When the Spirit comes, there is stammering lips. And with another tongue. Hallelujah. You know, I recently read a testimony of a Catholic. He said, you know, Catholic Church or something like this around the line. Catholic Church is a beautiful, big, you know, architectures and all that. But if you want to get out of your problem, better find a tongue-talking Pentecostal. There's no other way. The buildings can only get you so much. But if you want to whip the devil, find some Spirit-filled Christians. This is why Pentecostal churches, even though we are few in number, there's some power dynamite sitting here. You can break through some walls and get people through and out of some situations. Praying in the Spirit causes refreshing to your weary spirit. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28:11 is your reference. Again, 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mystery. So when you're speaking in tongue, who are you speaking to? Speaking to God. Man don't need to understand what I'm saying. I'm praying or praising God in my tongues. Amen? But what are you talking in the spirit? Mysteries. Mysteries, secrets. Hallelujah. The devil cannot understand it. Your neighbor can't understand it. Even now you can't understand it. But keep speaking when the Spirit gives you utterance. It doesn't have to be a perfect language or anything. As you, some people only will do some things only if it's perfect. No. Don't worry. Even if it's stammering lips, keep doing it. You know, when Hannah was standing with her heart broken in the temple, guess what happened? The priest thought, what was she doing? She was drunk. Similarly, in the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were speaking in tongues, what did they think? They were drunk. It's okay. Yes, Matt.
So I want to share a testimony about that, because testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I believe this is for someone in here, but I want to share with you about what Janu's talking about, speaking in tongues and praying in the spirit. It says in the Word of God that, you know, groaning's too deep for words. That's a description of it. And, you know, when you have reached, there's so many intercessors and men and women of God in here that are strong intercessors. And, you know, many times we get to the end of our words. You know what I'm talking about? You're almost weary and you're just out of words and you don't know what else to pray. You pray in the Spirit. And what happened to me about 7 years ago, I was walking my dog, and Natalie and I lived in an apartment our first year of marriage, and I was praying for my brother, my older brother. Many of you know the testimony that God is doing in his life. He's been sober now for a year and a half and is actually completely out of all of his court stuff and legal stuff now, and he's just battled addiction and heroin and opiates and all that kind of stuff for 10 years or so. And about 7 years ago, I was praying and praying and praying, and I was on a walk with my dog, and it was dark out, and it was probably, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and it was, and I was just praying for my brother, and I hadn't received the gift of tongues or praying in the Spirit. And I was walking out there, and I was just praying and praying, and I was so frustrated. I was so upset. I did not even know what else to pray. And I'm out there, and I'm just crying out to God, Lord, I don't know what else to do. You need to just fill me and help me understand. And I was praying, God, help my brother, help my family. I've been praying so much. And I started praying in the Spirit, and it just came out of me. Yes. So nobody laid hands on me. I just started
glory
going after God. And I'm going to tell you, when you're on the road to chasing after God, things are going to happen that are going to be crazy, and you're not going to understand them. And like Janu said, people don't have to understand you when you're praying in the Spirit. The enemy doesn't understand you, and that's the point. You're speaking to God. You don't even understand you. And so when you've reached the end of your frustration and your prayer and your intercession and your worship and your crying out to God, sometimes it's groanings too deep for words that come out of your mouth, and you just, ho rabba se ti anamama ke se te irababako, and you just cry out to God. And it's a language that you and God understand. And he is making intercession through you. And that is what praying in the Spirit is. And I wanted to share that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good one. Yes, Michael. Yeah, grab it. Come on. I like it.
I had a dream the other day. And I've been thinking about this dream ever since. And it ties in with this perfectly. It was a very, very short dream. And there were four of us standing around. Two of them I didn't recognize, but one looked just like Ira. And for some reason, we were going to pray, and someone said, you need to ask him for help praying. And that was the dream. And when I woke up, I asked God, what is that about? And he said, that was Holy Spirit, and you need to ask Holy Spirit for help praying. So I learned, first of all, the Holy Spirit looks like Ira. And the second thing... but the second thing is just the idea that we need his help, and we just need to ask him to help pray.
Amen, amen. I like that. So, praying in the Spirit gives you rest for your soul. You need that, right? You got to learn how to pray in the Spirit when you're in your car, before you go to bed. Even when bills stack up, you need to learn how to pray in the Spirit. Because praying in tongues is rest for my weary soul. Amen? Hallelujah. When Jesus said in Mark 16, as the Great Commission, he said these, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils, and then what? They will speak with new tongues. I don't understand how Baptists throw this all out. I have no idea. They say tongues are gone and ceased and all that. Maybe let's pray for our Baptist brothers too. You know, I'm not condemning them, you know. One of these days, a Pentecostal explosion needs to happen when all of them during the service will be like, Reba, ba, 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 Judah. See what I'm saying? That has to happen. Hallelujah. The next weapon that God has given to battle the spirit of weariness is believing the word. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, I don't have the, yeah, it is there. Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Believing the word is a key thing to enter into your rest. And so there's two words for belief here. Belief, number one, which the Greek is pistia, P-I-S-T-I-A, pistia. And the opposite of it is unbelief, which is epistia, with an A on it. So let me explain to you this. Belief, the word belief, the Greek word pistia means willingness to be persuaded by what God has revealed to you. Willingness to be persuaded by what God has revealed so far to you. And unbelief, just the right opposite of it is this, unwillingness to be persuaded by what God has revealed to you. In other words, you know certain things are wrong, but you're still unwilling to obey God. That's unbelief. You don't need to be a master's in theology, but whatever God has revealed to you, are you being persuaded by that, and are you obeying it? I would say that is one of the main issues of American Christianity, is that we know a lot of word and a lot of things, but we are unwilling to apply it in many areas. Unwillingness or unbelief is unwillingness to be persuaded by what God has revealed to you. You still continue to do your same things or some of the practices that you've done. Some kids are here, otherwise I would have gone in another verbiage, you know, a little more detailed graphics. So there's a lot more adultery, fornication, all sorts of junk going on in the church because they're unwilling to be persuaded by what God has revealed or has shown in his word. So you will never enter into the rest
Unless you believe the word, you'll have to have belief. And if you look at the book of Hebrews again, Apostle says, many of the Israelites fell short of the promised land because of what? Unbelief. Though they saw the signs and wonders and miracles and all the works of God, they would still not have a lifestyle adhering to the word of God. And God did not let them enter into the promised land. So you can know all your Bible, doesn't mean a thing if your life is contrary to what God has revealed in the scriptures. This is why Apostle Paul said, be not conformed to the fashions of this world. You don't watch the same show that the world is watching. You don't do the same things that the world is doing. Where is your separation? You expect many things from God. You ain't getting nothing until you put or believe in the word. Or believe, when I say believing the word, applying what God has revealed to you. Hallelujah. So in order to combat weariness and enter into your rest, you better accelerate in your obedience to the word of God. Very important. We all have our gaps and weaknesses in life. We should do our best to speedily conform to the word of God. It's good for us, you know. The next one, the third weapon to battle the spirit of weariness is to be in the place where God has ordained for you. As Matt again said this morning during worship, you got to be like the tree planted by the streams. Meaning, there is a principle in the scripture called the principle of place. You can't prosper everywhere. You can't go to any company and expect to prosper. You can't go to any church and expect to prosper. You can't be married to anybody and prosper. There is a place that God has ordained for you in this season. That's the only place you will prosper. If you're out of place, you're going to be continually weary. If you quit the job that God has really ordained for you in that season, you're never going to find satisfaction in the other job. If you quit the church that God had ordained for you this season, you're never going to find another church that will make you happy. God has prescribed a certain place, and that's the only place you will prosper in that season. So many a times people are weary because they are out of place. You are in the wrong place. You are not celebrated. You are, whether it's your job, your church, your family, because you are in out of place. Look at this. In Deuteronomy 12, the Bible says, the Lord your God will choose a place where his name will live. You must bring everything I command you to that place. Bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your contribution. And look at verse 13. I want you to know this. Be careful that you don't sacrifice your burnt offerings wherever you want. This is another big mistake many people do. Even in our giving, we need to watch out where you're sowing your offerings. And you just don't give to anything. Because God has ordained only certain places. And only if you do, if you sow there or contribute there, you'll prosper. It's very careful. He says, be careful that you don't sacrifice your burnt offerings wherever you want. There might be 1,800 churches in Memphis. I am called to be here at City Gate Church. If I am at Hope Church, I will not prosper. Simple as that. You see what I'm saying? We all have so many church options, but you got to know which is your church for the season. Where is God planting you? Just don't go look at the lights and smoke and say, I like that church because of the, you know, special attraction. You ain't going to be happy there. You're going to be miserable. You got to know where God has called you to be in this season. Because otherwise, you'll be in a mode of weariness. You're continually in the search for what's next? What's next? You're not happy. You're not in a place of rest. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean in your place that God has ordained you, there won't be any problems. Whether it's your job or your church, your family. Yeah, say you are established in the place that God has ordained, there will be challenges. Doesn't mean you quit and leave. You understand? Just because this is another problem with the saints. The devil tries to bring offense. The devil tries to bring a lot of misunderstandings within you. Maybe it's your job or anywhere, or your church. And he wants you to quit your place that God has ordained for you. I've known my coworkers, some of them, quit their jobs because of some offense. Now they're very miserable because they left before their season. The proverbial, the other side of the grass is greener kind of thing. Many people quit their jobs thinking the other side of the grass is greener. But they go there, they break their backs. So just don't do anything without proper introspection and prayer. When churches, Matt might be called to City Gate Church, or he is called, I know that. So imagine this, before his season, somebody brings offense. And Matt says, guess what? I got flashy churches down the street, goodbye. But guess what? He's never going to prosper there. Because God had called him where? Here. And he got to endure through all the trials, the afflictions, the backstabbing, everything that goes in here. He has to endure through it. That's part of it. Because he knows he's called here. Because all the other stuff, the backstabbing and the slander, is only for a short term. This is what you got to know. Do not exit the place of your promise. Because God has chosen certain places, and that's the only place you will prosper. Especially for that season. Now, 3 years later, Matt might be called for a $1 million job somewhere else. We don't know. And if God's will, he might leave. But what I'm saying is you need to know and be in step with your season. Hallelujah. So by being in the place, so if you want to escape the spirit of weariness, you got to be in the place where God has put his name. Number four. Thank you, Jesus. So number three, I just wanted to give you a little more. It says your blessing is waiting for you at a place. Jesus told, if you want to look at the concept of place, what did Jesus tell the disciples when he left? He says, Jesus told the disciples not to depart from Jerusalem. God told Elijah, go to Zarephath. Jesus told the disciples, go to the upper room, something is prepared for you. There is a place that's ordained for your manifestation. Your provision is at a particular place. Don't miss it. All right, now the fourth and the last one. So what can get you out of the spirit of weariness? A prophetic word, a revelation of your future. Amen? You know, in 2 Chronicles, if you read a guy named Amaziah, you can see what Amaziah was crying out to God or the prophet as to, he was just panicking by seeing his current situation. But the prophet told Amaziah and said this, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In other words, he's saying, hey, King Amaziah, don't get caught up by what you're going through. The Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what you can ask or think. Don't underestimate God. So if Amaziah didn't have the prophetic word, he would have sank. Because what he was going through was painful. But prophet said, no, don't get caught up in what you're going through right now. The Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly than what you can ask or think. A revelation of my future can defeat the spirit of weariness. If you think God is going to leave you stuck in the place you are, no wonder you're worried and depleted. God is not going to leave his saints in that place. Have more trust and faith in God. Prophet told Amaziah, don't you get caught up. Because if you don't get a revelation of your future, what will happen to you? You'll grow weary. This is why we need spirit-filled churches. Without the spirit of prophecy, guess what it is? It's very difficult to move forward. This is why I love prophetic people and the prophetic churches. Because the Bible says a word in season brings refreshing. I don't want to hear some motivational speech when I'm going through trouble. I want to hear a prophetic word. Hey, this is not the end of you, Jeff. This month and that year, you will come out. You see what I'm saying? So clear prophetic words can be refreshing to a weary soul. Yes, Matt, you can get going with the song. I'm about to close. Hallelujah. You're not going to stay where you are financially, my friends. I know some of you are financially struggling. Don't give up. You're not going to be stuck in the same rut. You're not going to be in the same place in your relationships. I've seen in the past months or years, several people we've prayed for in this church have seen mighty breakthroughs when it comes to relationships or finances. I'm thankful to God for that. Meaning God is not going to leave you in this place that you are. Don't underestimate God. Receive a revelation of the voice of God. Psalm 37, verse 7, David says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because David was a man who went through so many trials. One after the other, enemy after enemy, would not allow him to move forward. But then he would confide or move to a corner and he would say, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Your worry or you overthinking something is not going to resolve it. You got to enter into the place of rest. And that's why he said in Psalm 138, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me, O God. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And again in Psalm 23, David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know what's the valley of the shadow of death, anybody? This earthly journey. This planet Earth is the valley of the shadow of death. But for saints, we have immunity here. Though we walk through this until we pass this life, we will not fear. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. When you gave your life to Christ, when you got baptized into Christ, he took over your journey. And that's why he said, I am the author and I am the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I will be with you till the end of the times. Hallelujah. Come on, people, stand up. Let's stand up. And let's give God the praise. Hallelujah. You know, if you are praying the Spirit, if people who can pray in the Spirit, let some refreshing come unto your souls right now. Hallelujah. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You will perfect that which concerneth us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Let me close with this. Though your failures are planned by the devil, know this, your recovery is far more organized by God. The devil thought he had you, but it's not over yet. Because your recovery was already planned by God. Don't give up. It's already orchestrated by God, the way you're coming out. Just don't give up, that's all. Just hang in there. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do anything. Everything all right. Just hang in there, and God has it organized for you. Hallelujah. Judah. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord, I want you to pray.
While Juno was exposing the word, the Lord gave me this scripture, and I haven't read it in a long time, but it's in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, and this is what it says. Although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and the water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Whenever you turn to the right or to the left. One of the benefits of rest is that you hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus. At a higher capacity and level. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, yes. Just pray in the Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Just pray in the Spirit.
Oh, glory. Yes.
Shura makata remen sende rekasita ramanda rabakata. Come on. Come on. Let's stir up.
Oh yes.
Let's stir up the well.
Yes,
let's stir up the well.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yes, come on, let's steer it. Let's steer it. Let's steer the well. Come on.
Jesus.
There are wells that have been stagnant, and now the Spirit of the Lord wants to go and steer.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, I see your hand. I see the hand of the Lord steering up the wells.
Jesus.
Steering up the wells. All the dross is coming up. Coming up, steering of the whales. Suraba keta reba shida la babasa ta la babasa. Irama kanda rebebe shete rebebe keta raba babasa. Oh, Father, we cry out to you. We cry out to you. We cry out to you. We cry out. Oh, we cry out. Abakanda lelelebe sete reba babasa. Oh, we cry out, Lord. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing we can do without you, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, rebashi torobo kobo babasa.
Hallelujah. While Lord is just praying, if you've been battle weary, I want you to come forward. I want leaders also, please. I want to anoint you guys with some oil to bring you that peace, for you to experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Come on forward. Don't be shy if you're battle weary. If you've gone through that rough times in the past season. Thank you, Jesus. Just form a line. Let's, and leaders too, please. Hallelujah. Lord, just keep interceding, please. Thank you.